20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Saturday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. You are absolutely legendary for joining me today. Thank you so much for joining us 365 days a year right here on the Pack-A-Day Podcast. We got you covered every single day. Today is divisional round of the playoffs, so you guys get to sit back and enjoy some football. We all wish the Packers were playing the Seahawks this week, but it was not to be, of course. We're going to be going over exactly why in today's show, going over the film and grades from Packers-Bears. Spoiler alert, I know you probably don't care. This was a tough one to get through. The grades, not the episode. The episode is easy enough, or at least I'm hoping it is. I'm starting to record it right now. But the grades this week was a really... This was the biggest chore I've had grading film ever, I think, getting through these grades. It was not fun. I didn't really want... I did take it in small increments and just go on from there. But I do think there were some interesting takeaways, so I hope you'll stick around with me today. As you guys know, I've been doing this since 2017, grading the team, every single player, every single play. And I know this is not one that's going to be, you know, the most pleasing to kind of go through and recap and rehash. So I understand it. If you're taking the day off today from Pack-A-Day, I get it. But if you stick around, we'll get to some interesting stuff. And before we get there, I do have some news and notes that I want to get to as well. And then tomorrow we'll take a look at, unless we get Matt LaFleur news, we'll take a look at the all-encompassing grades for the entire season and some of the key takeaways and things like that, which I'm really excited to do. It's one of my favorite episodes of the year. So we'll get to that tomorrow. But we'll first of all, today, just kind of finalize the last grades of the season, Packers, Bears. Before we get there, shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Connor Twigg, Tom Hansen, and Turley, as well as brand new All-Pro member, Damon Hartley. Thank you guys so much for signing up. Appreciate it a ton. If you haven't checked out memberships yet, make sure to do so. And also, if you have a second, make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews. I hear from time to time, too, of like, oh, I didn't know that episode came out, or I wasn't sure that there was a live show coming up. Make sure if you're on YouTube to turn alerts on and then you get notified anytime there's a new episode. If you're on the audio channel, make sure you turn automatic downloads on. Both of those things will hopefully help you find the show, but also it helps us a ton as well. The big news is that there's no news from Friday, meaning we still do not have a Matt LaFleur update. The most recent reports are that all options are still on the table. I've seen some Packers fans, especially online, which... you know, take it for what it's worth. But I've seen some like start to freak out. Like, oh my God, just get this done already. What are we waiting for? What are you doing? Just make a decision. I don't care what it is. Just get it done. I understand. I would say, and I talked about this on the live happy hour, right now, I think you're in still a, I don't want to say a worry-free zone, but I wouldn't panic yet. You're in a normal zone to kind of figure this stuff out. I think if it happens this weekend, even if it happens Monday, I think you're good. Just making a decision one way or the other, whatever you decide. I think Monday is good. Tuesday, you're playing with fire. Wednesday, we get to a point where, or Tuesday, I should say, is more on the fence. Wednesday, you start getting to the point of like, all right, you guys got to do something now. Like, I would say middle of next week is sort of that real sort of drop dead deadline date for me. I'm just making up a date here. I say making up, but like it makes sense. We talked about it yesterday. If you didn't listen to the show, and kind of going over where things stand right now. But the big thing is that Matt's going to want options if he's looking for a new head coaching job. And the Packers are going to want options of coaches. And the more coaches get hired, the less opportunity they have to interview and bring in those coaches. And I think that's a detriment for both sides. So I to me right now, they're in a totally fine spot. And if they get it done this weekend or Monday, I think you're still within a really good spot. But anything after that, I think is starting to get a little bit worrisome, especially if it gets into Wednesday, Thursday, Friday next week. Now you're really, really pushing things unless both sides know that they're getting this done and it's just a matter of verbiage and wording and things like that, in which case it doesn't matter. But even then, you'd like to get this done because you have decisions on defensive coordinator, special teams coordinator, other potential coaching changes. So I do think you want this done, but right now, no panic yet. No, this is still in a fine spot is what I would say. Jets interviewing DeMarcus Covington for their defensive coordinator spot. Now, if you are hoping that eventually DeMarcus Covington, the Packers defensive line coach, is going to take over for Jeff Hafley if Jeff Hafley gets a coaching job, the Jets position probably doesn't freak you out a ton. The reason I say that is Aaron Glenn is the head coach with the Jets. And so, you know, if you're a defensive coach, you would probably rather be the guy and the one calling the plays and everything like that. I don't know if Aaron Glenn plans to call plays this year or give it to the defensive coordinator. That I don't know. We'll have to see when he hires a defensive coordinator. But my guess is Aaron Glenn's going to call the plays. And so if Green Bay and the Jets are both options for Covington, well, Green Bay is probably going to be the better opportunity for him because assuming it's Matt LaFleur staying as head coach, Covington would be the guy as the defensive guru slash coordinator slash everything in Green Bay. So not a huge, you know, worry there, but another defensive coordinator opportunity for him. Dallas was the other one. Dallas, he would call plays for. So that one is a little bit more intriguing for Covington. But if he doesn't get an offer anywhere else, then getting one for the Jets would certainly be huge for Covington. Before we get to our main topic, I just want to give a quick shout out to Habish, Habish and Rotier, who sponsored us all season long, which is super awesome of them. They are so great to work with. Hopefully you don't need a personal injury attorney, right? I hope you and your family members and your friends don't need one over the course of 2026. But unfortunately, things do happen in life. And if you do or you know someone who needs a personal injury attorney, I cannot recommend them enough. They've been so amazing to work with. These are real Wisconsin people that care about the Packers, that have cared enough to partner with Packaday. And so do me a favor. And if you do need an injury attorney or know somebody who does, recommend Habish or go to Habish.com. You can also find them 800-242-2874 or 800-2-HABISH. And they'll help you out. You will talk to a lawyer directly as soon as you get on that call, which is really, really cool as well. But just a really cool relationship with them. Really fun people. Awesome to work with. And I know you'll enjoy working with them as well. As much as, you know, I get you can enjoy, a personal injury attorney situation, but they make that, that's why they're there is it's not always the most fun and easy situations to be in. And Habish really does make it as amazing as possible in those scenarios. So check them out and make sure to tell them the Packaday sent you as well. And Habish, Habish, you're here. Thank you so much for partnering with us all season long. That brings us to our grades, Bears Packers. As mentioned, this was brutal. One of the hardest, you know, film grading sessions that I've gone through. It's why it took me throughout the course of the week. My big takeaway from this one, I hinted at this a little bit in the happy hour. I really felt like despite the depth on this team and despite the fact that they're missing Zach Tom and Micah Parsons and Devontae Wyatt and Tucker Kraft and Edgerrin Cooper goes down hurt, et cetera, despite all of those things, which are real and legitimate, I expected a little bit more from the depth of this team. And I got to the end of this game because what I think playoffs, whether it's in baseball, basketball is the big one, but football as well. You really find out in have to have it games who you trust when you have to have it, who can get out there, who you can play and who you can't play and who just can't hang in those scenarios. And I came away from this game, again, understanding that some really core players were injured, but feeling like there was a core group of players that could really hang and carry this team. Jordan Love, certainly one of those players. I don't think Josh Jacobs had his best game. I still think a lot of it was run blocking, but I feel very comfortable with Josh Jacobs out there. I thought, you know, even where we're going to talk about Christian and maybe not having his best game, but I still could feel Christian Watson being able to hang in that game. Romeo Dobbs could hang. Matthew Golden could hang. Offensively, that might have been it. Aaron Banks actually had a really good game. He probably could hang in there. Sean Ryan was good enough. But there was just a lot out there. And on defense, it was, you know, really, you know, the safeties per usual, Bullard, McKinney, and Evan Williams. Edgerrin Cooper could hang. And that was kind of it. And so many of the other players, as I'm watching the film, I'm just like, I don't know how many of these players that I feel super comfortable with playing tons of snaps. The tight ends, Musgrave and Wiley, had a really rough day. Belton wasn't quite ready yet. Morgan had ups and downs. I think he's going to be okay, but he was not fully ready yet. Rashid Walker had an awful day. You know, offense, you had a few more players that kind of stepped up, but defensively, There was no, I know some people thought like LVN was, you know, had a good, he had moments. He had moments. He had the sack fumble play, but there was nobody on the defensive line that was consistently making an impact at all. And in fact, most of them could not hang against that Bears offensive line. We'll talk about that more. I think Quay had a good game, and I think McDuffie had a good game. The corners had really bad games. And so you ended up in this situation where it was like, you had a couple safeties, three safeties, and a linebacker that you felt comfortable with. And Jeff Hafley sort of had to figure out the rest when you can't get a rush. Thankfully, Green Bay had a lead, so Chicago couldn't really run the ball a ton. But I certainly would not have felt comfortable with that. And it just, you know, I do think that things would have been, again, sort of pulled up. If you have Wyatt and Parsons and Kraft and Zach Tom and Cooper could have played the whole game, I do really believe that. There's other players out too. Nate Hobbs was out, etc. But it did feel like this was a team that had too many players out there that you just felt not comfortable with being out on the field. And I wasn't really expecting that, to be honest, because in most situations, in most scenarios, it's always been pretty impressive of like, hey, Green Bay can go out there and kind of hang with anybody. And to be fair, even with what I'm saying right now, this is a game they should have won. I mean, probably easily should have won and had every right to win that game. And we're missing so many of those players. And it probably doesn't look anywhere near as daunting if you do have those injured players. But I was just, I was expecting more from the, you know, the defensive line, the Luke Musgraves, the Quay Walkers, the Nixon and Valentine, who I know have been up and down and have been really bad at times, but they've also had good moments. And it just, it didn't feel like a lot of the secondary and tertiary players in this game really came to play, at least anywhere near their best football. And it just kind of made me think of like, you can get by, I say get by, but like, you can maybe survive with some of those guys, but you would like a level higher, and you just were hoping for a little bit more, and I didn't really see it. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, whether you're starting a new routine or making player picks for the very first time, trying something new can be difficult. But in life and on Prize Picks, it always feels good to be right. And with high-pressure playoff matchups every weekend and elite hoops action every night, the action never stops. And Prize Picks lets you take control. Now, I love how simple Prize Picks is to use and how fun it is to play. This football season has been even more fun this year with Prize Picks, and getting in my picks for each slate of game has been a super fun part of each football weekend. And listen, I get we're all having withdrawals from our fantasy leagues being over with, so this is the perfect time to stay in fantasy game mode by using Prize Picks every single week. And if you haven't checked lately, Prize Picks is now available in all 50 states. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And again, make sure that you're using that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. We'll get into some of those players here in greater detail. Let's start with our top three players on offense. Jordan Love plus 2.65. I thought he was fantastic. Let's start with the negative. I thought there were a couple times where he sort of predetermined where he was going to go, specifically with a deep ball. An example is before halftime, before they started just throwing the ball away to waste clock, they're running double out and ups on the outside, and it's Watson on the right and it's Golden on the left. And let's be real, right? Who would you want as your number one option, right? It's Christian. He has more experience. He's made those big plays. Christian is going to probably be your go-to more often than not. But Jordan drops back to pass, gets good protection, and he throws the out and up to Christian Watson. And on the left side, I posted this one on Twitter too, Matthew Golden just nuked the corner. I mean, just nuked him. And he has him wide open. And I think he just predetermined that, you know, if he got the one-on-one with Watson, that's where he was going. And again, I sort of get it. But I think if he just even took like a cursory peek over to the left side, he would have saw Golden and maybe taken that route instead. Also, by the way, Watson gets open at the end of that route and Love overthrew him on that one. Just a play overall that he'd like to have back. I think the very last play of the game, this is not on Jordan. You know, he did everything he could up until that drive, but I would like to see something where you just put some arc on it or something. He kind of panicked at the end and just threw it because I think he felt like he had to, But at some point, you just got to get that ball up in the air and hope that you can almost have like a mini Hail Mary. And instead, he just kind of threw it and it almost went right to a Bears defender. You just got to give your guys a little bit more of an opportunity in that situation. And, you know, he didn't. And that's a slight negative one. There were a couple other things like that where it felt like he got, like earlier where I was talking about, where he kind of predetermined going into the play. But man, overall, holy crap. What a game. He really ran the offense efficiently and effectively, especially with the offensive line not playing great. A couple players in particular that we're going to talk about. And, you know, he was in connection with Dobbs and Golden all throughout the day. He gave his receivers chances. Then that final drive, he hits Jaden Reed on that play that should have been just a massive play, and unfortunately Reed drops it. And then he gives that ball to Christian Watson too, where if Watson runs through it, we might be talking about one of the best game-winning touchdown throws in Packers history. Maybe the best. I'd have to think back on it a little bit. I mean, obviously you've got like the Hail Marys, but considering this was playoff football, game on the line, have to have it, no time left in a playoff situation. If Watson runs through that, we might be talking about that play for a very, very long time. It's just a ridiculous throw by Jordan. And he just kind of came up with those. The fourth down play to Matthew Golden when he had to have it was a big time throw from the right pylon all the way across the field on a deep out to the left side in windy conditions in a have to have it moment. The play where he got Dobbs deep down the right sideline. Now Dobbs made a great one-handed catch on that one, but that was spectacular. It just some really good stuff. Played turnover free football. Loved what I saw from Jordan Love in this game. And he came up huge in a game where, you know, you had a lot of players out and you needed the quarterback to be the catalyst to a win. I thought Jordan pretty much did everything in his power to try to get Green Bay that win. No surprise, Romeo Dobbs is the second highest, plus 1.65. We talked about the one-handed catch, which was phenomenal, but he just came up with big catch after big catch all day long. And I can't say enough for a player who had the failed onside kick against Chicago. You could tell he came out a little bit more motivated. He's been a good playoff wide receiver for Green Bay. He showed it again in this one, coming up with catches all throughout the day. You know, really difficult catches, some easier catches, but he was open quite a bit as well. And then two big heads up plays by Romeo Dobbs as well. On the Christian Watson play where he does the, you know, crazy flip into the end zone and fumbles, Dobbs is the one that's there to recover it, which is a massive play in the game. And then later on the Darian Kennard fumble, the ball's bouncing around and Dobbs sees it and he's the one that taps it out of bounds to make sure it gets out of bounds. So just a couple really heads up plays from Romeo as well. So not only was he spectacular as a wide receiver, in a couple key moments, he came up with big plays, even though he wasn't even supposed to be involved in those plays. Number three, Matthew Golden, plus 1.30, came up clutch at the end. And honestly, the touchdown play for Golden, arguably one of my favorite plays of the season, if not my favorite play, because at the time it felt like that was going to be the game winner. That was going to be the dagger to kind of send things home. Sucks that it wasn't, but what an unbelievable individual effort. There's certain plays, right, where you draw it up and it just hits the right way or whatever. This is a simple staple play in Green Bay's offense. It's a run pass option. They can throw the swing play to the outsider, they can hand off to the running back. And Jordan decides to throw this swing out to Golden. And the two blocks don't actually even really do a ton on the play. It was Musgrave, and I forget who the other receiver was that was blocking on the play. But they don't do a ton. They get a little bit in the way. But it's just like there's six Bears, it feels like, between Golden and the end zone on the play. And he somehow, you know, makes a guy miss, hurdles a guy, makes a guy miss, makes another guy miss. And he gets in the end zone in an unbelievable Herculean effort to get that play into the end zone for 6 points. That was awesome. It was a ton of fun to watch him play. I mentioned the out and up earlier that he was open on. There was another play later that if Jordan had time, might have been able to find Matthew Golden as well for a big play. This was the best we've seen Matthew Golden. He looked awesome. We've been talking about it. He's looked good all year when given opportunities. He got a little bit more opportunity. He made the most of it. And hopefully that is a harbinger and a sign of things to come for Golden, because if that's the way he plays moving forward, he is going to be an absolute stud in this league. Those are my top three: Jordan Love, Romeo Dobbs, and Matthew Golden. My bottom three, coming in at number one with my lowest grade of any offensive player in any game this season. Talk about picking the worst time to do it. Rashid Walker, -1.85. Just a unbelievably brutal game from Rashid Walker. He's got a holding penalty. He's got a false start penalty. He's got multiple plays where he doesn't block the right guy. He gets blown into the backfield on numerous occasions, gives up pressure, not a good day against the run. This was ugly, 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 ugly from Rashid Walker. His worst game as a Green Bay Packer. And it just blows my mind. We talked about it the other day. This is a player that is in a contract year where if he goes out and plays good football, like if Rashid would have had a really good year, I think like 25, 28 million per year might have been on the table for Rashid. And some team might still give him 20, honestly, because that's how desperate teams are for offensive line play. But my goodness, what a dumb situation for a player who had the opportunity to make so much money this year. And even if he just like crushed it through the playoffs or end of the year, he didn't even do that. His worst game in his career. Just super disappointing. I honestly wonder if like Zach Tom was healthy for this game. We talked about it a couple weeks ago of like maybe benching Rashid to go to Jordan Morgan. I think you would have had to at some point in this game bench Rashid to go to Morgan. I don't think you could have done it for Kennard or anything like that, but man, what a brutal performance from Rashid Walker. Luke Musgrave, -0.85. He sucked in blocking all game long. It was really, really bad. It was really, really bad. One of his worst games as a blocker. And then the big kicker is Jordan throws that one-on-one ball to him in the end zone. I think it was on the drive where McManus missed the field goal, if I remember correctly. Which one, Andy? The last offensive drive prior, well, the second to last, the penultimate offensive drive. He throws a sort of a jump ball to Musgrave, and the corner's got his back turned, and the corner has some contact. If Musgrave just goes through the contact to go to try to get the ball and plays that strong, he's getting it's a first and goal at the 1 yard line in the end zone. And instead, he kind of fades away and there's nothing doing. He's just got to be strong in that situation. And he just wasn't. That's disappointing. And, you know, he gave Musgrave a ball that he could go get. The corner's in a terrible position. It might've been a linebacker or a safety too. I forget who it was. I think actually it was a linebacker. It was Edmonds. It was Tremaine Edmonds. Man, if he just goes aggressively back to that football, it's first and goal on the one. It's game over for Green Bay. But he didn't. Rough game for Musgrave. And Anthony Belton, -0.75. This was kind of the Anthony Belton experience where you see some good stuff and you see some bad stuff, just more bad stuff than good stuff. You can just tell he's not quite there. He's just not quite ready. This is another one where, again, I would have liked to have seen Zach Tom at right tackle. I would have liked to have seen Rashid Walker benched for Jordan Morgan. And I would have liked to have seen Elton Jenkins at right guard. Unfortunately, with Tom and Jenkins injured, you don't have that opportunity. And you got to live with what you got. And Belton is still very much a work in progress. Gave up some, you know, numerous pressures. He gave up a play where Watson comes open deep on the right side. It's a shot play. I think it might have been on that final drive, or maybe it was earlier. But either way, you know, Belton just gets beat on the play, and Jordan's ready to, you know, he's cocked and ready to go to throw the deep ball down the field, and then he gets pressure from Belton's guy. And he's got to check it down to Jacobs on the right side. So just disappointing there from Belton, but a work in progress. And you did see some good stuff from him as well. He had a pretty physical pancake on one play, which was fun. Miscellaneous players on offense. Just to recap my bottom three in offense, Rashid Walker, Luke Musgrave, and Anthony Belton. Some miscellaneous offensive grades. Christian Watson, -0.5. I actually did credit him with a drop early in this game. There's one that Jordan threw him that I think he could have caught. Also had the fumble, and I know it didn't end up costing Green Bay, but man, 99% of the time that fumble there is going to cost you 7 points, and it easily could have. And in fact, you know, well, it gets back to the 1 yard line, and they almost go for and out on that play, but you just got to be way more careful. Huge shout out to Romeo Doubs for recovering that one. And then just struggled to get off man coverage in this game a little bit for Watson as well. So you just kind of add some of those things up, and it wasn't a great day for Watson. Did have the touchdown and made some key plays as well. but just a little bit below average or what you would probably expect from a Christian Watson game. We'll be right back. Jaden Reed, negative 0.4. We talked about the big one, the drop on the final drive. He would have been in the positive pretty easily had it not been for that. That's a really bad grade because that's a game on the line, playoff season on the line sort of play. And Jordan puts it right on him and Reed just drops it. And he was open about it in the locker room saying it was on him and felt really bad about it. I get it. I understand it. But that's a potential season altering play right there. Really tough hang with him for Jaden Reed. Hopefully he can bounce back, have an awesome year next year after that really rough final drive there. Josh Wiley, negative 0.35. Had a catch late to get out of bounds on that final drive, but really, really struggled in blocking along with Luke Musgrave in this one. Aaron Banks, plus 0.95. I thought he was great. I think arguably his best game of the season and just played really well against that Bears interior. So kudos to him for putting together his best game in a big moment. And Sean Ryan, plus 0.2. Sean Ryan's done really well against the Bears. He had a huge plus grade in the last two games against Chicago and now followed it up. Not a huge one here with plus 0.2, but another positive performance against the Chicago Bears. That does it for offense. Let's get to defense. Top graded defender. I cannot stress to you enough, I've said it every single week, how much I love watching Evan Williams play football. Plus 0.95. And here's the thing. When you have a grade like that, there's almost always a big play that I can point to. I got nothing for you. There's no big Evan Williams plays in this game. But he was everywhere, attacking, downhill, physical, doing everything that you want from him. Just another superb Evan Williams game, playing with unbelievable energy and intensity. And I cannot stress to you enough how much I love watching that man play football. It is an absolute joy. He is a all-pro caliber player. I really, truly believe that. You know, HaHa Clinton Dix was an all-pro. Evan Williams is playing better now than HaHa Clinton Dix ever did in Green Bay. Like, that's how well he's playing. He's been absolutely awesome. Second one is Edgerrin Cooper, plus 0.55. You saw Coop just all over the freaking place. There are a couple of mistakes, early in the game, especially in, there was a couple of coverage ones. I think he blitzed one time, couldn't quite get there. Yeah, just some things like that. But on the whole, he was an absolute madman. And it should not be surprising to anybody that the Bears got all their points once Edgerrin Cooper went out of the game. He was a one-man wrecking crew, tackling everything in sight, really good against the run, pretty good drops in pass coverage. Had that one play, he could have maybe come up with an interception, but yeah, he had a phenomenal game. You guys saw it. Yeah, I don't even have to talk about that one too much. You guys were able to see that with your eyes on the game day copy. Then Tyron Hopper, plus 0.25, came up with a big interception, dropped back into coverage. You know, Caleb's pressured on the play, just kind of throws one up, but good job on Hopper coming up with a pick. And thought the rest of his day was pretty solid. Didn't play a ton, but did have more than a handful of snaps in this one. And you had a pick and some solid play, and you're going to end up with a good grade. And Hopper did in this one. So top three on defense: Evan Williams, Edgerrin Cooper, and Tyron Hopper. Bottom three on defense: Carrington Valentine, negative 1.25. The tackling was rough. Gave up the touchdown to DJ Moore at the end on the little fake screen play. And struggled in coverage through the rest of the day. So yeah, negative 1.25 for Carrington, negative 1.10 for Keyshawn Nixon. Spoiler alert, you don't want your two corners being your top two lowest graded players on defense. That's usually not ideal. Nixon made a business decision at the goal line to try to not make a play. One of the more ugly plays of the season and just lack of effort. Now, I really would love to give Keyshawn the benefit of the doubt, but you can see he's about 3 yards deep in the end zone. The running back's around like the, you know, like 8 yard line or 6 yard line, maybe. You can see if both of them go towards it, they're going to meet at about the 2 yard line. And instead, Nixon doesn't. And he just sits there, does not accelerate to the ball at all, does not rally to the football. And then at the goal line, just kind of does a little ole and Swift goes in. Now, by the time he gets to the goal line, Nixon's not going to be able to probably do anything, but at least try to peanut punch that ball out or do something, right? Xavier McKinney, who's further away and doesn't have the sight line to it, comes up and almost makes the tackle. Now, X misses the tackle on the play, but if Nixon is there to help McKinney with the tackle, Swift doesn't get in, and that's a third down. It leads to fourth down. So just a really brutal play there from Keyshawn. Also involved in that huge fourth down play where Caleb, one of the best throws I've seen of the season from Caleb Williams, but that's his guy. That's Keyshawn's guy in that play. It's a tough play, but Keyshawn's on that one too. So tough day for Keyshawn Nixon again. Kingsley Nigbari, -0.75. I just thought Darnell Wright especially gave him a ton of trouble. He couldn't get in the back. He made one big play in the backfield, or at least was involved in it. But outside of that, just couldn't get anything going. And I thought Darnell Wright pretty much owned him for a good chunk of the day. Our bottom three on defense, Carrington Valentine, Keyshawn Nixon, and Kingsley Nigbari. Some miscellaneous defenders. Well, I'll just say the defensive tackles in totality did not have a single positive or neutral graded player and had a -1.85 grade combined. Ford was -0.1, Brooks -0.45, Wooden -0.7, Stackhouse -0.2, and Brinson -0.35. This is what I'm saying of just like, you don't have a starting caliber defensive tackle on this team. Wooden gave it his all this year. He really did, but you'd prefer him as your three or four. Just don't have a starting caliber defensive tackle. That's a problem. It's a problem Green Bay's going to have to fix it this offseason. Rashawn Gary, -0.25. Actually did like some of the stuff early from Gary in this game. He did have some pressures and he did have some just some good effort, but then you had a couple of the jogs out at the end. And at the end of the day, second half, he couldn't get anything going. When this defense needed to make a play, it was once again Rashawn Gary that was not able to make one. Quay Walker, -0.55. Struggled with his drops, meaning his drops in coverage in this game. A lot of receptions over his head. He rallied to the football well. He tackled okay, and he played the run okay when there was running, but in coverage, he struggled. Had the play against Colston Loveland where they threw a deep kind of corner route to him, and Loveland just smoked him. It wasn't even close. So tough day for Quay. McDuffie, -0.7. Didn't think that he played his best brand of football when he got in there, and certainly some plays in coverage that McDuffie would really, really like to have back. And then Javon Bullard, +0.2, just a normal Javon Bullard day, hustling and rallying to the football and doing everything he can to cause some chaos. Just to recap everything, top three on offense, Jordan Love, Romeo Doubs, Matthew Golden. Bottom three, Rasheed Walker, Luke Musgrave, and Anthony Belton. Top three on defense, Evan Williams, Edrian Cooper, and Tyron Hopper. And bottom three on defense, Carrington Valentine, Keyshawn Nixon, and Kingsley Nigbari. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. I always appreciate it. We'll be back here tomorrow, hopefully with a full recap of the full season grades and some really fun deep dives into that. Looking forward to it. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle Donnelly, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winkle, Sinkle, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Alexander Newell, Bill Reinhardt, Richard Morales, Les Nino, Beast Bumblebee, Benjamin Sargent, Christian Bradley, Steve Bates, John Mark Liddell, Nemo, Jake Conner, Donald Decker, and Damon Hartley. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.